And thank you for coming. The meetings have been announced likely in your own assembly here in Woodland Drive to be tonight at 7:30 and then Monday and Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock. And the closing meeting of the Gospel series is Tuesday night, and we appreciate all the support you have given us. The attendance at the meetings has been exceptional. The interest has been excellent. Many, many unsaved have come. Many strangers have been here to hear the gospel, and we're deeply grateful to God and pray that we may see more of God's hand before the end of the meetings. Next. The Song of Solomon, please. That's our brother Richie, by the way, if I didn't say his name. The Song of Solomon 5. Verse 10, my beloved. Well, perhaps we should read the question first. Verse 9, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Then there is a tenfold description that follows. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as a bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Could you read, please, in John's Gospel of the New Testament, chapter 15 of John? John chapter 15, and we're reading at verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. The intimate counsels of the friend. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I hardly need to announce my subject. I'm certain you will be very aware from the scriptures that we have read that I'm going to speak to you about the friend. But the two passages stand in great contrast to each other, because the friendship that we read of in the Song of Solomon chapter 5 is unconditional. It is all grace. But the friendship of John 15 is certainly conditional. It's all obedience. So, what we have looked at now is a statement. This is my beloved and this is my friend. And then a question to apply to our own hearts. Can I truly say that I'm his friend? This is simple. This is something that has been speaking to me much in recent days. Let me just say a few words generally about friendship, if I can, and without trying to pretend to any kind of extra knowledge in this subject. We all appreciate true friends. In fact, in a lifetime, there are probably very few in our own lifetime that we could say are truly close friends. To have a friend, the Bible makes clear, is to have a great blessing. And it is an honor to have those that we can truly call friends. A long friendship can be shattered so easily. It bothers me to think that there are believers who have known a close intimacy of friendship for years, and then perhaps because of some offense, the friendship ceases. The Bible makes it clear that that a friend who is offended, or a man who is offended, is harder to be won than a fenced city or a strong city. So now, we realize that friendship is not something that comes easily. It must be cultivated. It must be carefully pruned. It must be carefully practiced. And he that will have friends must show himself friendly, as you know, is a great principle of the Word of God. Could I say a word to myself as well as to you? Don't let friendship, a long friendship that has been enjoyed and appreciated, don't let it be shattered by some minor event. It's very easy for us to take offense. Easy to perhaps find something that has hurt us. That's a great word today. You're hurt. Well, the kind of hurt people are talking about, of course, are what they call inside hurts. But maybe you think that someone has failed to come to your defense when you needed it. Maybe you think that's a kind of a betrayal, that somehow or other this person has not been loyal to you. But weigh it well, will you? Consider all the facets of it. Consider perhaps from their viewpoint of whatever issue it was, whatever problem arose, whatever difference of mind, try to put yourself in their shoes. Some of us can do that easier than others. It isn't always easy to think as the way the other person is thinking. Perhaps there were circumstances that led up to a certain train of thought. I don't know if you're as aware of this or I am as I should be, but oftentimes when we meet a certain condition in life, a circumstance, what has gone immediately before, or what has been a way behind, influences our pattern of thinking. It influences our channel of thinking. And it may be when we come up to an incident, we blow it all out of its real context by some kind of a preconditioning which makes us interpret the thing in a very bad light. Before that happens to you, before you cause that to be the cause of the loss of a friend, weigh the whole thing well. Consider what you're losing. And perhaps you'll be very careful. And of course, friendship does require loyalty. The man that took me to preach the gospel many years ago, he preached a sermon one time. He only preached it once. I used to say to him afterwards, you get a lot of problem with that. But the sermon went like this. He took up fellowship. And he took personal fellowship up. The enjoyment of the Lord Jesus, that is the ground of fellowship between believers. The precious blood that makes us one, links us together with a bond that's stronger than any bond that earth can forge. That's a wonderful thing. Fellowship with God's people, with those who love the same Lord, who are of the same mind, who are persuaded from the Word of God by divine truth. Fellowship's a wonderful thing. Friendship is also a wonderful thing. This dear man I'm telling you about, Mr. Warren McBain, he said that perhaps fellowship is the highest level and friendship is beneath it. That's very possible. But then this is what he preached. Never let friendship deteriorate into familiarity. And he was a wise man, I would have to tell you. And he had witnessed much of that kind of thing. Don't let friendship deteriorate into familiarity. So that you must know the private business of your friend and know all the details of their life that really are none of your business. And could I make another suggestion? This is so practical. I realize I'm just right down to earth, but forgive me for that. Maybe if we're going to do some business. Oh, I know this sounds bad, but I'll explain. If you're going to do some business, maybe it's some work you want done. And you say, well, I could give that Christian a thought. Yes, you could. And it might turn out wonderful. But if it doesn't, then it isn't only disappointment in the job, it's disappointment in the Christian. Sometimes I think it's just as well to do your business with strangers. That's kind of not what you usually hear from a platform, is it? If I have a different kind of subject today, I believe that we should go in for having those who we can truly trust in as friends, truly loyal. I regard, and he won't mind me saying this, I regard Mr. Paisley as a very dear friend. And I think he regards me the same. And we work together. But there's a loyalty that goes with it. There's a trust. There's a confidence that goes along with it. Very important. It's vital to true friendship. Now let me tell you about this friend who sticks closer than a brother. I would like to tell you first of all of his forgiveness. Because that's where we came in. That's where we started. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, is the words of Proverbs 27. And when we first became acquainted with this friend, he wounded us. Did he not? Awakening us to our guilt and sin and danger. And I'm applying it, as you can see, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And it was John Newton who wrote those wondrous words, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. I can't tell you how many times when preaching the gospel, those words of John Newton come to my mind. Because when we're preaching the gospel, we're really warning people. We're actually wounding them. We're trying to see them awakened and troubled. We want them to be troubled. That doesn't sound very good to the world. You want people to be troubled? Oh yes, we want them to be troubled. We want them to be so troubled that it even takes away any peace of mind that they have. We want them to come under deep conviction. But it's only that they might know this blessed friend. This one who is the friend of publicans and sinners. This blessed Savior who went surety for the stranger, as we are told in the book of Proverbs. And to get to know him as my friend is grace, pure grace. You know that here in the Song of Solomon 5, you have this tenfold description of the beloved. What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? And then she begins to describe him. I have often looked at her description and seen in it the cross. And this is just one way of looking at it. And this doesn't even begin to touch the surface of his beauty, his glories, his exceeding excellencies. But if you look at the tenfold description, you will see the cross very vividly in her description. For instance, when she tells us that his head is of the most fine gold, I think of the brow that was wreathed with thorns. On that blessed brow, the thorn wreath sat. I cannot think of the glory of his head without thinking of the pierced thorns upon his brow. Whenever it says his cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips are as lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh, I think of the hairs plucked from his cheeks. I think of the face so marred, till it was unrecognizable, misshapen and swollen from the blows of wicked sinners. Oh, they never appreciated our Savior. He hated them without a cause. They battered and abused and marred him. But to us, he's altogether lovely. When you look at the hands, of course, you think of the nails. When you look at the body, you think of the body so marred, the lash, the wound, the great gaping wound that a man could, a fisherman could put his face. When I read of the legs, I think of the perfect pathway of the Son of Man, so gracious, so kind, how wondrous he is. And finally, as he comes back to his face, his countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars, and then language seems to fail. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. The forgiveness of the friend is wondrous to have. You know, there's a great contrast between this description in the Song of Solomon and the description of the great idol of Daniel. Even though you go from the head to the foot, you know what a vast difference there is between them. And perhaps the most immediate difference that we think of is that the head of that image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream had a head of gold, but it had feet of iron and clay. Here's one whose head is pure, fine gold. Look at his feet. Fine gold. He's undiminished. He's unfading. He's unchanging. He's unfailing. And we have such a friend. Bless God. This is my friend. The forgiveness of that friend is very precious. The favor of that friend is pure grace. You know the words of Proverbs chapter 22, the man who is brought into favor has the king as his friend. If you go through the book of Proverbs, you'll find there are many, many titles of the Lord Jesus there. He is the son in the book of Proverbs. What is his name and what is his son's name? Of course, he is the king. He is the righteous one. He is the surety. He is the friend. Beautiful titles of our Lord. None so dear and none so personal as the friend. The king's friend. And there is one above all earthly friends whose love all earthly love transcends. It is my Lord and Christ divine. My Lord. Because I know he's mine. And to claim him as my friend is a very, very great thing. My friend. This is my friend. The faithfulness of that friend has been proved through our Christian lives. Last night to a group of young people, I told the story of my salvation. Next Thursday, if God spares me till then, by the eyes of the world, I will be an equal fool. If I was saved on April the 1st, the year 1938, 55 years ago, as a poor guilty sinner, I got to know this blessed Savior, and I have proved through the years his faithfulness. A friend who loves at all times. A friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, the amazing words of Proverbs are these: a faithful friend is a strong defense. He who finds one has found a great treasure. That's a lovely application to the Lord Jesus, isn't it? He is our defense. We flee to him in time of need. But, you know, I'm afraid for us, because I think some of us are only using him as a pillow. I'm afraid we have a tendency to use him for comfort only. But oh, he's not just for comfort, although he is that. He provides all the comfort we could ever need. But he's more. This friend loves at all times. And he never fails. And he's faithful in every circumstance. No matter how weak we feel, no matter how helpless, no matter what difficulty we face, even if we have no answers to our problems, he's a faithful friend. To him we can go in all our need, and find that he will not fail us. Friend who is faithful. I want to speak just for a moment about the fellowship of this friend, because now we are coming down into a very practical kind of teaching. In the world, he was friendless. You know that, don't you? Reproach has broken my heart. I looked for some to take pity, and there were none. Or comforters, but I found none. It often touches me that the Lord Jesus passed through this world friendless. In his own Father's house there in Nazareth, as we said the other day, he didn't even have the friendship. They treated him as an alien, not a friend, an alien, in his own mother's house. And as he moved through this world, he didn't have a friend. Oh, you say he did. He had the disciples. He had those dear women from Galilee. Yes, they were good friends. But you know, the difficulty is that when he came to Calvary, he had to say, "Lover and friend, hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance in the darkness?" And at the end, he had no one. He was left friendless. But this one who was friendless in the world, he seeks your friendship and mine. He seeks the close companionship of one who will walk with him. And I think the two on the way to Emmaus learned the wondrous joy of that. I would love to have been present. To think he could begin at Moses and the prophets and expound unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I have gone through that. I have taken my Bible and I have gone from Genesis to the book of Malachi and taken up the things that concern himself. And I tell you, it's been a rich feast to my soul. I wonder what he said. I wonder what scripture he dealt with. I wonder, are there passages that we never even have seen Christ in? I took them up and he talked with them. And their hearts burned within them. They talked with him by the way. And then he was made known for them in the breaking of bread. I tell you, if we knew a little more of walking with him through the week, perhaps we'd see more of him at the breaking of bread. Because, you see, he longs for this fellowship of his own. He longs for the friendship of his people. Now that brings us to John chapter 15, as you can see. What are the marks of one who truly has a friend like this? Well, there are tests of friendship, as we all know. That's what I have been thinking, that there are very, very telling tests of friendship. A friend is one whose voice you love to hear, right? Especially if you haven't heard them for a long time. Some of us fellows call that. I tell you, it's a great treat to hear the voice of your own beloved wife when you haven't heard it for a long time. It's a wondrous thing just to hear a voice. You know that? Well, I want to tell you, if we truly are his friends, we will love to hear his voice. And if you're newly saved here, let me tell you, that's a mark of truly knowing him. You long to hear him. And I'm ashamed lots of times that I can find so many things to occupy me and so much that's so important to do and it occupies so much time and I have so little time to sit down with his word and hear his voice. It says, the friend of the bridegroom who rejoiceth at the bridegroom's voice. Get that? That's from John 3. That's a description given of those who are the friends of the bridegroom. What is their characteristic? They long to hear the bridegroom's voice. Now we do long to hear his voice, don't we? The voice that will say, come up hither. That wondrous voice that will call us from earth into his glad presence. We could truly say, we long to hear that blessed voice. But do we hear his voice every day? And do we seek to hear his voice? And do we listen? The second test of friendship is, do I gladly obey his word? Listen to what he said. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. My point is that I can call him my friend by grace alone. He calls me his friend when I walk with him and obey him. I obey his word gladly. I'm obedient to his blessed word, and ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. This is the sense in which Abraham is called the friend of God, because he heard the voice, he obeyed. He went out when God called him, he obeyed what God said. Obedience is a great principle. It's far stronger than many of the emotional things that are called spirituality in our time. We live in a very light day. I know you'll think this comes from an old man, so what would you expect from him anyway? But, you see, if you go into a bookstore today, and they sell Christian books, you know, most of them you could just leave on the shelf and keep your money in your pocket.
because there's a whole genre of so-called Christian books that have hit the market. They remind me of the meringue that your wife puts on pie.
It's mostly air. And very little else. So, that's a great tragedy when we get so light. And everything is kind of effervescent. Like Pepsi-Cola or Coca-Cola or something. You know, everything has to be bubbly. How about a little death? How about something real? How about something that has weight, something lasting? And what is it? Hearing His voice and obeying His word. Simply. That's true devotion. That's a measure of godliness. That's the measure in which I am His friend. Am I truly His friend? Am I loyal to Him? Am I faithful to Him? Do I love to speak of Him to others? Do I testify about Him to work people, friends, neighbors, relatives, family? Do I really speak of Him with joy in my soul? Am I able to tell them of what He means to me? God grant it may be so. This is the true test of friendship. To obey His word. Of course, let me finish with this, and I'm going to sit down. The greatest prospect is to see His face. And at least we all are that spiritual, aren't we? I mean, is there any Christian here that doesn't want to see Him? I don't think so. I would hardly expect it. It'll be wonderful to see Him. But never really see Him. Oh, you say that? That's not exactly true. Yes, that's exactly true. Peter said, whom having not seen, ye love. And that's why he said ye. He didn't mean he didn't love Him. He was included in those who loved Him, but He was not included in those who had not seen Him. We are the ones who haven't seen Him. We've seen Him by faith, but we've never looked upon His face. We're going to look upon Him without a cloud between. We're going to see Him. And when we see Him, we're going to be like Him. Let us live in the good of it. Let us live in the prospect of it. You're my friends. He's absent. We're here to be His friends in this world until we see His face. And I love the words that I have sung since I was saved. First, one day, upon the streets of gold, mine eyes His glories shall behold. Then while His arms around me twine, I'll cry, praise God, I know He's mine.